He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is April 21st, and we have got a Tesla-infused, that's what I'm going to call it, a Tesla-infused rally in the market, just as Netflix and IBM sparked the market yesterday, one to the upside and one to the downside. It looks to me, actually, there's two areas of the market that really shine this morning. One is Tesla. And this is an airline. Who would have ever thought this is an airline-inspired rally with UAL up 11.3%? So if you're into the airline stocks and the travel stocks, you're having a great day here today. With the Dow up 281 right now, 35,444. The S&P's up 43 to 4502. And once again, just looking at the S&P, it's not like your big tech names. It's the airlines. It's basically the airlines and a little bit of steel and some Tesla thrown in for good measure. The NASDAQ is fading a little bit here. It's down. It's up 150. It was up 250. 13,604. Crude oil's got some lift under it right now. It's up 209. Per barrel to 104.28. Gold is down $10 to 1945. Silver's down 48 cents. Not a good day for precious metals. 24.79. The 10-year, which has been up around 2.93 recently, is currently at 2.88. And Bitcoin, which has got a little bit of lift under it these days, it's up 1,091 per coin to 42,670. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, along with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, there's quite a bit of macro stuff out today, and there's stuff coming from the Fed, and there's stuff coming from, who else was it? Oh, Fannie Mae today predicting a recession. So we'll get into that.
Earnings, a decent amount of earnings. And then, Bitcoin's funny. Bitcoin's staying in that range where you said anytime it drops below, 40,000. It seems to kind of bounce back and, seems to be trading in a bit of a trading range there.
Yeah, then it gets up to about 45, 46 and falls back, staying in that trading range. And, I'd like to say that this is a really good, vibrant, healthy rally with a lot of stocks and positions and sectors participating in the rally. So I went through it very carefully here before the show started, and it's pretty much confined to the travel stocks. Okay, well, you have a couple of issues there. You have blowout earnings from United Airlines, and we don't own any airline stocks, but you're seeing big moves from United. It's up 11%. American's up 9.1%. Mesa's up 9%. JetBlue's up 6.4%. And then, of course, the Priceline.com or Booking.com and Expedia and those stocks. So if you're in the travel stocks, and, of course, you had the mask mandate, which was overthrown, and now the government, the federal government, is going to appeal it and try to put us back in mask when we fly. I think that's helping at least a little bit. I don't know if they'll get their appeal won. They probably will. But, so you've got this rally that's pretty much confined to the travel stocks and Tesla. Last time I looked, Tesla's up 10.9%. And then I looked at the other electric car stocks, and they're really not participating. It seems like Tesla is the EV sector in the market. Lucid's up 4.2%. The oil stocks are quiet today.
Well, it's the only real profitable one, right?
I mean, yeah.
In this environment, like you said, with your longer duration names, which are it's going to be all your Rivians and and all the other EV makers of the world, besides your big four automakers. They're really the only ones that they're the only ones in positive territory, which is kind of the reason why they got such a big bounce because their margins were so good.
Yeah, I would say second place, like a distant second to Tesla, is Lucid. I don't know that they've sold the car yet, but it seems to be the second place as far as interest amongst that investors in that industry. Then I look at the really high quality stocks, the Microsofts, the Apples, the Nvidias, the Adobes. They're all up about 2% today, which really is pretty anemic when you look at the rest of the market. So I wish I had better news on the strength of this rally, but it just seems like rallies in the NASDAQ continue to be sold off. We'll see how it goes. I got a lot of stocks to look at here today. Now, yesterday was one of those days we had a rally in the Dow, but the NASDAQ sold off. Netflix got clobbered. This begs the question, are the days of FANG over? Boy, I think so. Well, number one, F is gone.
I was about to say, one changed their name. So
it's got to be MANG now. Right. Facebook is gone, and Facebook stock looks terrible. Amazon stock has been bouncing all over the place. It will have a huge day, and then it sells off, has a bad day. Google is Google. And, of course, Apple, I think FANG has two ways. But Netflix is just dead in the water from what I can tell, so.
Yeah, and the G has been Alphabet for a while. So
it's Alphabet.
They got to come up with a new acronym.
It doesn't work out the Mega, does it?
Yeah.
Let's see. Meta, Amazon, Google. Oh, Google's gone, and then Alphabet.
Yeah, right. It's like
anyways, changing times. I can remember just a few years ago, FANG was about all that was working in the market. There was so much money centered in FANG, but I think you got to come up with something new. I think FANG is done. There's a lot of FANG ETFs out there. Anyways, I don't think FANG's going to dominate the market going forward. We'll have to come up with some kind of acronym for some of these commodity stocks that include natural gas, right? Well, anyways, Tesla reported earnings right after the close last night. I'd say that's the number one story. He beat the earnings estimates by 95 cents, and his revenues beat by almost $1 billion. And the number that I'm seeing the analysts coo about today is his gross margin, which rose to 33%. Now, this is before the overhead comes in. This is his gross margin. This is sales minus direct cost. Previous quarter was 26.5%, so that's a huge jump in gross margins. We'd have to take a look. I don't know what Ford's gross margins are. I'll let you look that up during the commercial, and GM's gross margins are, but Tesla came in at 33%. Netflix was down 36%. I read that Bill Ackman, I don't know why does he get so much news? That was his largest, one of his largest positions.
Lost 400 and something million on that.
Oops.
In 30 days, I think it was in less than a month or 3 months, something
like that. Nice pick, Ackman. Yeah. Pershing Square, I guess he didn't have a sell stop. It wouldn't have helped anyways because it gapped down yesterday. And you know what? I think the streaming has finally reached its reached its penetration throughout the world. You know, every revolution in the market, you had the computer revolution with the PCs and personal computers. I remember when that maxed out. And then you have the telephone revolution, and that pretty much, now we're just trading in for new ones with a few new bells and whistles. And now you have the streaming revolution pretty much maxing out. It's a crowded field out there in streaming. and new attempts to start a streaming business. We talked about CNN yesterday, which is pretty much abandoning their CNN Plus. So anyways, streaming not a good place to be. And, you know, that brought down a lot of the other associated stocks, internet-related stocks, online shopping stocks. It would seem almost that maybe online buying and using it for all kinds of things is maybe maxed out, because yesterday I saw the bricks-and-mortar stores moving, Lowe's and Home Depot, while the online stores sold off yesterday. And another one that sold off yesterday big time, besides e-commerce, were the COVID-related stocks. They just got hammered yesterday. All right, well, there's a lot happening in the market right now. We'll try to sum it up for you. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're surging now. I just see three of our largest holdings, which are commodity-related, surging here after their earnings reports today. Like I say, you know, the Tesla has sparked the NASDAQ a little bit, but it's starting to fade now. The NASDAQ is up half of what it was before. It was up about 250, now it's up about 125. And the Dow is up 256, and like I say, it's mostly the travel-related stocks that are leading the way here today. Okay, yesterday it was a weird day. I did a lot of looking at the market. You had a split market yesterday. I saw huge action in the consumer staples. I think Procter & Gamble reported earnings yesterday that were better than expected. And I saw a huge rally in the bricks and mortar stores, Barry. I saw Costco, TJ Maxx, Ross Stores, Home Depot, Lowe's, etc., Dollar Tree, Dollar General. They just exploded to the upside, and it just may be a couple of the big firms out there, the T. Rowe Prices and the Fidelities of the world, buying into that area. And money was leaving the internet and the e-commerce space yesterday. We'll see if that continues. But, you know, maybe these big box stores, I saw Target have a good day yesterday. Maybe they figure that they've got pricing power and won't be hurt as much by inflation as some of the smaller players. I paid $25 for a hydrangea.
Yeah.
A 1 gallon hydrangea. I was going to get about six of them.
Got one.
I headed home with three. $25. These are 1 gallon hydrangeas. This is at Lowe's. And a little flat of petunias, you know, it was like a day of work for a little flat of petunias. Price, that inflation, you know, these are areas that all of a sudden sticker shock.
Should have been buying tulips, apparently.
No, I'm buying seeds. Yeah, I'm growing my own from now on. I've got a big nursery started at my house.
Well, I will say, you know, at least initially, some of the theme, I was going through some of the Procter Gamble earnings, and you know, they were able to pass along, right, those prices. They had much better margins than they thought. Of course, they said their costs were higher, but they were evidently able to pass those on to us as consumers. And so I think, like you said, I think some of this, the cost power, or you know, at least margins, you know, may not take as much of a hit, right, as expected. So we'll see how that plays out the rest of the earnings season. But that's kind of one of the main pieces that I've been interested in, because that's going to kind of tell us how persistent, you know, inflation, you know, can and may be, right?
Well, this leads into the next story. San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President Mary Daly said Wednesday that it's prudent for the central bank to lift its near-term target rate to a more neutral stance, or 2.5% in her view, by year end. Now consider that we're currently at 0.25 to so she's talking about 200 basis points between now and the end of the year. That's on the Fed fund rate. Okay, so I just currently look at the spread between the Fed fund rate and where the 10-year is at. It's roughly 2.5%.
Right.
Okay, so if I just did the math on that and they go to 2.5 on the Fed fund rate, that would put the 10-year well above 4% and approaching 5%. Am I missing something there?
In that part, you know, that makes sense. Of course, you know, the thought there would be, you know, potentially you have a more flattening of the yield curve, right? So that longer end kind of, you know, stays, you know, maybe not rise as much. And so then you get, you know, the potential, right, for an inverted curve down the road, or just, you know, a much less steep curve from the very short-term rates to the longer-term rates, which would indicate, right, that, you know, that the Fed would be, you know, if they move that fast, right, the market, as we keep hearing a little bit, you know, more about the recession word, right, you know, that would be, you know, the thought, as it would, you know, kind of lead towards a recession, which would, you know, kind of keep a cap, all right, on those longer term rates potentially, right? You know, it's all driven by supply and demand in those longer dated bonds, but it'd be, you know, that's kind of what you would think would play out.
Yeah, and you know, that would continue to put big pressure on the bond funds. Yesterday we learned that 98% of bond funds are down this year. The 2% were inverse bond funds that were up. And it would also continue to put big pressure on the higher PE, the NASDAQ, the tech stocks, the ARC funds, etc. I don't see how you can avoid that. And I still say that one of the biggest themes to build a portfolio around this year, 2023, is rising interest rates. That would be to go from 0.25 to 0.5, all the way up to 2.5 by the end of the year, which I kind of see that happening. That's just going to create, you know, there's areas to avoid in the market, and there's areas to invest in the market, in my opinion.
Yeah, and mortgage rates, this just came out, you know, probably, I don't know, about 10 minutes ago. Mortgage rates, you know, rose for their seventh consecutive week in a row, and mortgage rate now on a 30-year at 5.11%. So
that takes a lot of people out of that. But it's still a hot market. We talked to some friends on Sunday. Their house in our neighborhood was up for 2 hours, and they got a cash offer, 2 hours, over what they listed at some pie-in-the-sky price just to see what would happen, and they got that and then some in 2 hours. Well, your scenario, you pretty much agree with Fannie Mae. She's predicting a modest U.S. recession in 2023 as the Fed fights inflation. So I think that's probably, most of them are like out a couple of years. I think sooner rather than later myself. I think we're headed faster than you might think into a recession. Maybe I'm kind of with Fannie Mae, I suppose. Next year, 2023, middle of next year, something like that. That's two straight quarters of negative GDP. Maybe the end of next year. We'll see. Where are you at? Put your neck on the line.
Yeah, well, historically they happen every 3.25 years, right? So, you know, we're certainly in that range,
beyond.
Right? It's especially if you take out the COVID year, right? We're way past due. Conference board still has 3% GDP growth for 2022, so which is still above the pre-COVID trend. So it's,
yes,
you know, we've got a bit of slowing down still to do, right?
You'd have to really hit the brakes. But right. Anyways, that's what they're out with. And one last one here: jobless claims. We still have a very strong labor market, 184,000. That's excellent number. On the jobless claims. Okay, when we come back, a lot of commodity news today. Uranium, copper, and carbon capture. How about investing in carbon capture? What's that? We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 272. Crude oil up now 269. We've also got the 10 years at 2.91. It's moving up, that 10-year average. And you've got the NASDAQ's up 161 right now. And a lot of that's Tesla, like I say. And the travel stocks. The medical stocks also have done really well. The medical sector, everything, anything medical yesterday, instruments, devices, and then, of course, healthcare also had a very good day. I just see the market, I see the big money moving to more defensive areas of the market. Like I said, the consumer staples. The medical sector is definitely a defensive sector. I'm just not seeing much interest right now in tech, in FANG, in the previous leaders of the market. I'm seeing the market get a whole lot more defensive. That's just my observation, a guy who looks at least 1,000 charts a day. All right, now. We have got a lot of individual stocks here, but first I wanted to talk about, let's see, we got right there. Okay, here's the first one I wanted. Carbon capture. What is carbon capture? ExxonMobil foresees a $4 trillion market by 2050. Okay, when I see those kinds of numbers, I start to think, where's the opportunity in carbon capture? This is capturing carbon dioxide before it escapes into the atmosphere and storing it underground. Well, how big will the oil and gas market be by 2050? Exxon predicts $6.5 trillion. So this carbon capture market is going to be almost as big as the oil and gas market itself. And who are the big players in carbon capture? Well, believe it or not, the oil companies themselves, they're going to be the biggest players in the carbon capture market. Occidental Petroleum, ExxonMobil, Chevron, etc. Now, I don't understand how they really do that, how they're going to do that and put it underground. They're going to capture the carbon barrier. They're going to put it underground, and they're going to make money off of the carbon that they capture.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I kind of equated, clean coal, right? So, I mean, essentially they were, it's not a filter, but, you're putting something over, right, capturing the emissions before, before they reach out there. And, I mean, it makes sense because, as a globe, right, we've kind of figured out that we're not going to emit much less, right? We're going to continue emitting, and the pain going from going to low emissions, right? We've seen that already in terms of higher gas, higher oil, higher energy prices in general. So there's probably that carbon capture, at least in the interim, right, between say where we're at with emissions and wherever they think or want us to get to at some point, right? You almost have to have it in the interim, and that's a way for these large oil companies, right? To it's a new vertical for them. So as they're potentially selling less oil over the next handful of decades, they'll replace some of that income stream, right, with this
carbon capture. Well, yeah. We could also plant more trees. The last time I looked, trees breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen, obviously, which is just the opposite of what we have. A few trees here in South Carolina, I mean, it's all you see. It's if you want to build anything, you're going to have to clear the trees. So there are some natural carbon capture, but there's now about four or five ETFs. Crane Shares, KEUA is one of them, and then there's a KRBN, which is a carbon capture ETF. They've done pretty well. So there's a whole new sector out there, carbon capture. Capture that rascal and put it underground.
Maybe they turn the carbon into diamonds, right? And then
let's compress the heck out of it,
right?
And make diamonds out of the 20% of Peru copper output offline as protest bill. Now, Peru has a Marxist government. They don't hide it. They have the Marxist Party in Peru is the ruling party. And they want more from these big companies like Southern Peru and Freeport-McMoRan and those. But at the same time, it's putting pressure on copper prices. And now they're trying to put down these riots because people aren't able to work and all kinds of problems down there. And Chile, let's not forget that Chile also has a very left-leaning government. Seems to be happening. South America seems to be going way left. And it's putting upwards pressure. That's why I continue to be bullish. I'm not going to own 100% commodities, but I continue to be bullish. The next one is uranium. How about Uranium Energy, UEC? They've been buying up uranium like crazy. And they are warehousing uranium, and they've been buying it up at very low prices and storing it. And Uranium Energy, according to an article I read on Seeking Alpha, UEC is a compelling opportunity for investors, and the stock is cheaply valued, set to benefit from Europe's change of sentiment towards nuclear energy. And that's a big factor there. Europe sentiment has changed, and I know Boris Johnson in the UK, he's going to up the nuclear energy. France is pro-nuclear energy. Germany remains negative nuclear energy. And I read that we're going to some of our plants need upgrading and whatnot. I think nuclear energy is a player going forward, and I think the uranium stocks are a pretty good place to be. This Uranium Energy now holds 5 million pounds of uranium. If uranium goes up in price, the stock's going to go up because of the inventory that they hold. So I do have a little position in UEC. Okay, Equinor. I like to talk about them. They're one of my favorite oil stocks, EQNR. I didn't know, but they own 25% of the Brazilian offshore oil, along with Petrobras. Petrobras has been pretty much mismanaged for many years. Brazil is an oil-rich country, not as much as Venezuela. And look what happened to Venezuela. They have 20% of the world's oil. And they're hardly selling anything because of what's taken place down there. And you look at these countries, that's why I brought up these countries in South America. Are they going to ruin, the cash cow in their countries? These are very mineral-rich countries. One of the leading areas of the market to invest in this year has been South America. I think as a region, I think it's up 25%. There's an ETF called ILF, which is Latin America, and it's done fantastic this year. Why? Because it's linked to commodity prices. But if these guys, close down these mines and ruin the production and nationalize the companies and run these people out, it could spell trouble down the road. But I continue to like Equinor, which is a Norwegian oil driller. I just saw a guy here on TV talking about he thinks natural gas is going to go a lot higher to crazy prices. Well, that's one man's opinion. Okay, here's a stock, Dow. Dow Chemical, the old Dow Chemical. Look at that chart today. Dow, D-O-W. you know, they're another one that's getting into
taking
natural
off
gas.
Yeah.
And we talk about inflation, okay, being on which side of the aisle do you want to be on? I see McDonald's is on TV right now. That's not the side of the aisle I want to be on because their lettuce prices, their beef prices, they
labor
don't really
prices.
Have.
Yeah.
They don't really have the pricing power. On the other hand, if it comes down to heating your home or driving your car versus a Happy Meal at McDonald's, people are going to choose the necessity, the basics of life. And Dow Inc., wow, that's a huge breakout for that stock today after reporting earnings this morning. They're on the right side of the inflation aisle, in my book, while McDonald's and others are on the wrong side of the aisle. Okay, when we come back, there's several stocks jumping off the page here that we'll get to. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the NASDAQ, it was up 250. It's up 76 now. And I continue to say, the rallies in the NASDAQ continue to be sold off. And that's really because of rising interest rates. You're at 2.91 right now. As interest rates go higher, the NASDAQ is selling off. And we just did the math. You could have interest rates, the 10-year, up around 4.5% to 5% by the end of the year if the Fed really goes on the march. So that is wind in the face of the higher PE stocks. It's just mathematics. Okay, so some of the stocks that are standing out here to me, one that's we don't own it, but I'm kind of surprised that Alcoa is getting clobbered today. No, it's not getting clobbered. It's down 13% because that's been a really good performing stock. It has a relative strength of 99, a P.E. ratio of 10. Maybe you should buy the pullback here. We don't own Alcoa AA, but it is definitely bucking the trend because on the other side of the street, the steel stocks, one of our largest positions, which we've talked about many times. Barry, look at the chart of Nucor right now, would you?
Yeah, I sent you a text on it. They just came out with earnings. Yeah, it's wild.
Man alive, it's up 10.3%. Okay, relative strength is 98. And the P.E. ratio is 6. And that's one of our largest positions because we own it in our premier growth portfolio and we own it in the growth and income portfolio, dividend and growth, because it pays a dividend yield. That one's just, it's headquartered just a few hours to the north of us in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have a friend who works at Nucor here in North Charleston. I guess we have a facility. And I talk to him a little bit. He said, yeah, we're busy, like working overtime and weekends and Sundays and all kinds of things. But Nucor, wow, that's one of the biggest winners of the day. And when it's one of your largest positions, that's four times normal volume. The stock is up $17.30. 10.2% today. Powerful move out of Nucor, N-U-E. And in the you wrote that one up, right?
Well, we wrote Cleveland Cliffs Nucor, and Nucor is mentioned in it because at the time I think we owned both of them. I think we just one steel article was enough.
People don't seem to read the steel articles or the fertilizer articles. They'd rather read about Lucid Motors or Rivian or that's okay. Go back and look at how much those stocks have gone up since we wrote about them and how that compares to the S&P 500. Nucor is currently ranked number 200 overall, in the Best Stocks Now app. It has an A-minus grade, overall grade, and its momentum grade is A+. That's before today's big move. And I have new accounts coming in, you know. I'm always putting the money to work. And I've made sure that everybody, at least as about a week ago, I don't know about the people that have come in the last few days and whatnot, but I've made sure that they've owned Nucor, and that's one of our largest positions. Okay, another area that you got to think about, and it's not exciting, but insurance companies own, they have a lot in reserves, and then normally they put their reserves in short-term instruments. Now, Barry, as the Fed hikes rates, that helps the short term. So CD people owning CDs, in some cases, the short-term rates are better than the long-term rates. So you're going to see the insurance stocks doing very, very well because they're making a lot more money on their reserves that are invested mostly in short-term stuff than when interest rates were next to nothing. So I look at a stock like Marsh McClanahan here today, MMC. Now, this was Netflix 3 years ago. Okay, Netflix had a chart like this maybe 4 or 5 years ago even. So instead of FANG, we got to come up with an acronym: steel, insurance, fertilizer. It's not sexy, but this is what is working in an inflationary, rising interest rate environment. And we don't own Marsh McClanahan, but I pointed out because it's breaking out to a new all-time high today, when usually these are the most boring stocks there are. And I also bring it up because it's a beautiful stock chart. It's got that big saucer over the last 4 or 5 months and a huge breakout today. They do well because they're short-duration stocks. They own short-duration money. They have a lot in reserves. They make money off of those reserves when interest rates are going up. Their yield is 1.2%. They pay a dividend. And that's about all I'm going to get to. I was going to bring up a oil service stock. Well, LBRT. Man, that thing's breaking out. We've been mentioning these oil service stocks that do the fracking and the drilling. That thing's breaking out today, too. Relative strength 96. So there you go. It's a totally upside-down market from 2020. All right. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, are you upside down or are you right side up? I don't know, but you can have us look at your portfolio. You can't fight and hang on and think that those 2020 stocks are coming back. You know, a lot of people did that in the year 2000, and many of them never came back. And we're kind of in that situation again, very similar to the year 2000 from my perspective, maybe not as bad. But there were definitely some huge bubbles coming out of the COVID year of 2020. Or actually in 2021 is where we got into that bubble. And then interest rates started to rise. See, that's why the Fed comes in and acts. They see these bubbles developing, and they got to tamp them down. And bubbles are popping all over the place right now. So if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. Or you can get the newsletter and see how our portfolios are doing, GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Thursday is the day I start on the portfolio. And on the newsletter, I update all those portfolios. I do any last-minute trading that I'm going to do today, any selling, etc. Go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.